Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Yanis Shanaeus and Max Cohen. This episode, we are going to discuss the dramatic 3-1 victory for Fulham on the road against Barnsley. There's a ton to talk about with this match, but before I do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Mr. Cohen, how you doing?
I'm doing brilliant, Russ. Always in a better mood after a Fulham 3 points, and I think it's safe to say this is my post-match show debut. So
it is.
Hopefully, it's a productive and happy debut for me, like Matty Target, you could say.
Well, I look forward to getting your thoughts on this match. I think you'll have a good amount to say, just like Yanis and myself. But before we get going on this, I have to welcome Mr. Janaeus back to the show. Yanis, have you survived this victory today?
I'm not happy at all. We've lost to Wolves today. I don't know why I'm on this bloody show, but I suppose I'll do what I need to do. You know what? I'm what a crazy last 72 hours with all the Tom Kearney and wet spam rubbish. And today we found a bloody way to win, and we're in sixth, Russ. We're in sixth. Yay!
I know. It's crazy, Yanis. Listen, there has been a lot of going on behind the scenes, a lot of transfer speculation. You mentioned the situation with Tom Kearney. He did not travel for this match, and we'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about the starting 11. But regardless of all that's going on, with all of that mess, Yanis, they found a way to win. This is something that Max and I were talking about, you were talking about as well before we started recording this. And I'm going to say it now. Good teams find ways to win. Fulham are a good team, Yanis. Because that's what they did today. They found a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They. It was ugly. It was ugly. Especially that first half. But I don't care what anyone says. You need a little bit of luck. I mean, we had the Jordan Spence nonsense against Ipswich Town at home. And then today it was Mr. Cavari. I don't know what the bloody hell he was thinking. But
I don't know.
Hey, you go down. You go in half time. You're playing against 10 men. And you've got to try and it's been an emotional week for Barnsley as well, with the death of their former owner and their 19th. And it made for really good entertainment and really good drama in the second half, up until the last whistle. So, good advert for the championship, but man, did we make it tough.
We did, Yanis, and we'll talk all about that coming up. All right, Max, I want to get your opening thoughts on this match, watching it. What was going through your mind? We could talk about it being a tale of two halves. Or just, first half being very poor, which you and I talked about. I agree with you. They played poorly in the first half. Better, obviously, against 10 men. But just overall, thoughts on the match?
Yeah, it was a really meaningful match for me because in late December, I was actually at the Cottage to see the reverse fixture when Fulham beat Barnsley 2-0. And it was just completely different team that I saw come out there for Barnsley. At the home match, they were so devoid of any ideas, had no attacking intent. Really had two shots on target, I'd say, the entire match, really. But today, I mean, they really came at us. They didn't seem to be very afraid of our run of form. And I agree with you guys, first half was just abject. We didn't see a Fulham team out there that we'd seen the past couple of weeks. And, I mean, they deserved the goal, you'd have to say.
Yes,
and then we get another massive stroke of luck. And one thing I'd like to say just about the luck, if you go through all our January league matches, we have Ipswich, where we win 4-1, but really the sending off, as Yanis mentioned, in the first half, that really swung the match. We were down 1-0 before that, had the sending off, win 4-1. Then the next league match, that was Borough. We all know how massively we rode our luck in that game. Wouldn't say that was a good performance either, but we found a way to win. Then Burton, another very poor team, we played very well. And then today against Barnsley, where the sending off, I'd have to say, changed the match. And I'd make the argument we played poor all half. Sorry, all match, not just first half. Even with the man advantage, there wasn't really any sustained pressure. Barnsley were still breaking it on us, having counters, and we didn't really look like we were dominant, I'd have to say. But, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We have the 3 points, and I tweeted this out right after the McDonald goal. Yep. I said, we're smashing Grab FC, because it really has been last two away matches. I mean, Borough and Barnsley. It's some of the best feelings, I'd say, to just come away from an away ground with a probably undeserved 3 points, but it makes that 3 points feel even the more meaningful.
Absolutely, Max, exactly. But I'm going to go right back to before I go to Yanis, because let's talk a little bit about this. How many times over the years have you seen Fulham give away leads and they could have ended up losing matches at the very end. The exact opposite thing happens to them. I'll take a smash and grab anytime, my friend. I think this is actually a positive sign because, again, how often does it happen? It's happening this season, and we could call it luck. We could call it whatever you want, but at some point, something's going on there that's giving them this luck. They have to be doing something right because you still have to execute and score the goals, and they're doing it.
Yeah, and we find ourselves time and time again in this kind of revival we've had over the past month, 2 months, scoring late goals. And in the past, even at the beginning of the season, we're the ones conceding late goals.
Right.
I remember that string of fixtures
when
we go up 1-0 and just throw away the lead. And it seems like we've turned a corner, really, and that is very good to see, especially towards the second half of the season.
Absolutely, Max. And Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on this because I was thinking about this. Because the performance, like Max said, I'm going to be in agreement with Max. It was a poor performance overall. Were we better in the second half? Yes, they had 10 men. But they still had a lot to do. They did get help. They did get some fortune here. But you still have to execute. You still have to score the goals. And I'm so used to it being on the other side of this. To see this, I think, is a mark of a good team, to be able to take advantage of an opportunity that's in front of you.
I agree. We found a way today. It was, I mean, the first half, we didn't play very well, but full credit to Barnsley. I mean, they
absolutely
came flying from the traps.
I'm glad you're saying that. Let's give credit to Barnsley.
Yeah, let's give credit to Barnsley,
They played very well, and they're on the other side of this, but they made things very difficult on Fulham.
They did. They closed space down well. Our passing went astray often, but I thought they were tenacious in the tackle. They worked very, very hard off the ball. Really no complaints about going a goal down. And really, up until the point that Cavari got sent off, it didn't look like we were... I mean, there was that debatable, was it a penalty? Wasn't a penalty for us. But even taking that apart, we just didn't look particularly dangerous. And in the second half, even when we scored early, and there was still a man down, they still did create chances.
They did.
They're decent. And remember, let's not forget, we lost to Burton up in Derbyshire earlier this year. We lost to Sunderland up at the Stadium of Light a few weeks ago. None of these bottom teams are easy, because they've got as much to play for, if not more, because they want to maintain survival. They played their part first half, they played their part second half, and in the end, we found a way, and it is pleasing because too often we were the victim of that not happening to us.
Exactly.
So it's nice.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right. Guys, let's move on. Let's talk about the starting 11 and the 18 in general because there are some interesting changes, especially to the bench. Max, I'm going to start with you. What were your thoughts about the starting 11? We obviously know the situation with Kearney. The club actually tweeted out before they tweeted out the starting 11 and the 18 overall that he would not be included because of injury. So when you saw the starting 11, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so unchanged starting 11 from the 6-0 win against Burton. So on one level, you can say, if it's not broken, don't fix it. A very good winning formula. And I think a lot of supporters were very happy, myself included, that you're starting with Sessegnon on the left wing. And he really showed again today why that's his most effective position. Just another note, I guess some people were surprised maybe Target didn't immediately slot into a starting 11.
I was.
And Adoy was there ahead of him. But as we saw off the halftime switch, Target went in there and I don't know about you guys, but I was very impressed with his debut here. I think the way he played, the passion he showed, and he had a lot of really good touches in the attacking third, as well as some pretty assured defensive maneuvers when really Barnsley were pressing forward. So I thought it was a good starting 11 by Slavisa, but of course the big omission, Kearney, is what everyone's going to be talking about.
Sure, and that'll be the storyline for more than a few days, my friend, until the window shuts. We're going to have to just watch the situation with Tom Kearney, unfortunately, but it is what it is. Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on the starting 11 and 18 overall. Max stole my thunder because I was going to mention I was actually expecting Matt Target to start based on what Savisa had said in the lead up to the match about Target, that he was basically, I'm paraphrasing, he was confident in the player. So he didn't start. He comes on at the second half, which is good. But were you surprised that he did not start, or was this the lineup you were expecting?
It's exactly the lineup I expected. I thought it would have been a little harsh had Adoy not started. And I feel a little sorry for him. I mean, I thought Target did well when he came on, but Odoi didn't have a great first half. But I'm trying to look at optics from Odoi's perspective. The move has been to push Sessegnon up front on the left-hand side. No one's going to have complaints, and I doubt that Odoi does. But he will have known that obviously there's a left-back coming in to compete with him. Odoi, more often than not, is a little bit of the fall guy, and I think he's done very, very well this year. And I don't think – a gentleman, Jim, made a very good comment just after half-time, and I think he was bang on the money. It was a little bit – target came on for Odoi, but frankly, the performance of most of the outfielders, any of them could have been subbed.
I totally agree with that. I heard that.
Yeah, and for some reason, Odoi seems to be this, you know, and this is Slava, you know, Slava's the coach, he does what he's going to do, that he's considered a little bit of the scapegoat. I think we've got to keep an eye on Odoi. I think Slava's got a big job ahead here, because what he's got to do in terms of the man management is talk to Odoi and say, look, you know, you are a massive part of this squad, and keep his spirits up, because
great point.
It's going to be, we need Odoi, and Target's done well today, but for us to get, you know, stay in the top six or even do the unthinkable, make a run for second, both those players are going to have to play their part. Apart from that, I mean, the bench spoke for itself, and the beauty of what happened today is, despite all the media rumours and what have you, yeah, the first half was tough, Barnsley played well, but we found a way and we did a professional job today, and that, I think, is big for Slava and the coaching staff, because they can look at this now, and Kearney's not been fit all year, and the club can now look at this and go, if there's truth to the rumours that Kearney A, wants out, and B, that bids are coming in, now the power is in the club's hands, because they could play hardball and say, no, we ain't selling you. And what are you going to do, sit out? You're going to do a Chris Martin? Well, that wouldn't look good, but Martin was a loanee, of course. So right. The power right now is in Fulham's hands, and especially with the next game being Bolton. So so it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. But we're in a good position now, and with all the FA Cup games that went on today, it was massively important we got the result, because it puts pressure on Sheffield United, who now we've replaced. And now Bristol City won today, but we're now only 5 points in a game. They've got a game in hand, obviously, behind Derby County in second. So we're coming up on the railing. So this is a good time.
It is, Giannis, and it is about confidence. And it does put pressure on the teams around us. It also can mean with the transfer window closing shortly that if there's a player who maybe is on the fence to come into Fulham, he can see what's going on here. Maybe he wants to be a part of it. When you win matches like this, I'm just thinking of myself. I'd want to be a part of it. So all this winning can be infectious. And I think this is a great thing, especially the way they did it today. Not your best performance. I'm going to go out and say a poor performance, and you still won. I've seen this too many times where they play good performances and got nothing out of it. I'll take this every day of the week. So I'm happy with the result, and we all should be happy with the result. And in a way, happy the way they did it, because they found a way, and we're going to keep saying that. All right. Let's now transition. Let's talk about the first half. And Giannis, I'm glad that you started right off here by talking about Barnsley, because let's give them full credit. Barnsley came out strong. They gave us no space, and they looked dangerous when they had the ball. Let's just call it what it is. They had a game plan, and they were making it pay off. And, you know, it's funny because Fulham had a chance in the 16th minute. A shot by Johansson goes wide, but let's really call it what it is. The first half was mostly controlled by Barnsley, and they got the goal. Giannis described this goal from Liam Lindsay, and this started from a corner, and you know, it was a long kick out, and Tim Ream put it out, and then we get punished from it. So let's talk about this goal. I know we could say it's a little bit fortuitous for them, but they kind of earned it by the way they played.
Yeah, it's a corner come over, and corner's come over, and we haven't handled it. We've handled it. It looks like, you know, Bettinelli might have been, you know, blocked on the goal line, but we've not cleared it. And it's one of those, I call them sniffer goals. You know, it's a messy goal, but it's gone in. And really, you know, now that you look back at the game, the performance of the referee, I thought today was excellent. He got most things right. And then when you think he hadn't got it right, like the time wasting, it turns out he had got it right, because he had 5 minutes. So he was always up with play, and he was right there. And even with the penalty, we could have got. It was very marginal, but if you're not sure, you just don't give it. And so he's given the goal, and Bettinelli, I think his reaction was more frustration at the manner of the ball going in, and of course it cost him a yellow. But if we needed a wake-up call and we thought we were going to sniff out and sleep our way to half-time, guess what? They'd scored, and hey, no complaints. They were the better side the first
Sure.
half, and they
But
deservedly played.
did Betts have an argument there, Giannis? Yes or no?
Now, I'm of the opinion that the goalies get too much protection. I mean, back, I'm going to sound like a fuddy-duddy, but back in the old days, you went up with keepers, and you challenged them. And modern day tends to be lots of protection for the keepers. No, to me, it's a goal. To me, it's a
Okay.
goal. It's six of one, half a dozen the other. This physicality, is he block? Yeah, maybe, but is it enough really to say that you're going to impede his movement off the line to get to that? I'm not going to give that. If it had been the other way around, I'd have been ticked and said, well, what are you doing? So no, to me, his remonstrances were a bit over the top. To me, it was a goal, and really, no complaints.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right. Max, over to you. I'll just mention real quick, first of all, that goal was in the 30th minute, and then we go forward in the 34th minute. You have a shot by Norwood off a free kick that hits the side netting. What I want to ask you about is the situation in the 39th minute with Ryan Sessegnon. I want to ask you, was this inside the box? Was it outside the box? Should this have been a penalty? I want to just get your thoughts on this.
I think on first glance, everyone thought, including Gentleman Jim, which really influenced my opinion, was that's a penalty. But on second viewing, I think it looks like he just clips him right
Close.
outside the 18-yard box. It's close, but I think it's just outside. So I think that's the right decision. What I would like to bring up, though, which I don't think a lot of people have talked about, is if that's a foul, and it clearly is, the referee's deemed it an infraction, is that defender the last man? And I think that's a clear goal scoring opportunity. And I think that should have been a sending off. Of course, he got sent off 15 minutes, 10, 5 minutes later, but I do think that that has a strong case to be a red card. Because if he doesn't make that challenge, Sessegnon's through on goal. It was a great through ball. He's through on goal, and he's going to slot that one home, I mean, on his form. So I think that has to be a sending off, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
Giannis, your thoughts on this?
Oh, I, six or one and a half the other. I think, I mean, he's given the yellow. There was a comment made that he was a pretty laid back ref, but that, he got things right. And I don't think I mean, there's possibly a case, but if you look at the reaction of the Fulham players, they weren't in his face going, start waving the red, boom, boom, boom. He's made the call that he thinks is he necessarily the last man back because of the way that he made the run through. I think the only question mark for me was it a penalty? Was it inside the box? And he's got that right. To be fair, he's got it right. I think if he'd given the red, it would have been a very harsh call. And I think it really, again, it's like looking at a, I don't know, a personality, a film star, and you're looking at the career as a whole. And if you look at the whole game, he's really mostly got everything right. So I think it was the right call. I don't think it was a red. And what I think probably annoyed me more than anything else is that we messed up the free kick,
We did.
which was a bit of a shame
Good
because he was
point.
in a good position. Yeah, but you know what? He didn't get a lot wrong today, to be honest. The ref and great, but hey, another thing, great run by Sess,
Oh,
and
absolutely.
his subtlety of getting into positions is a little bit uncanny. And he's Jim, gentleman Jim talked about, well, actually, it was Jamie. I think it was Jamie talked about the Gareth Bale, and really, that's the closest comparison in terms of age, in terms of talent. He's a Gareth Bale prototype, and that's scary if he can stay injury free. And on that run, he just left his defender for dead.
Absolutely, Giannis. All right, let's go a little bit forward. You have the shot by Font that hits the side netting in the 40th minute, and then I'm going to go right back to you. Let's talk about the incident with Stefan Johansson. Dmitry Kavari gets a second yellow and then obviously gets sent off. Red card there. Let's talk about this whole thing. What was this guy thinking? Let's be honest, he probably cost his team the match right at this point.
He did. He did, and he'd had a good first half, I thought. I don't know. I don't, it's like the Jordan Spence one. You know, Kamara's gone in heavy and Spence is taking an exception. And we could say, what is he thinking? But I've done that before. And then you look back and you go, what was I thinking? In the heat of the game, he's looking to defend his teammate. And Johansson has slid in and he hasn't made contact, but it doesn't look good. And he's gone to protect it, his player. And it's, you know, it's a moment, what do they say? A moment's madness, or a moment's impatience, a lifetime's remorse. And he's not four. And he's clipped him around the ear hole. And the ref's got, and it's the second yellow. He's got no choice. And it was the massive break that we needed. Cavari's gonna,
Yep.
You know, the coach is Paul Heggenbottom's going to sit down and say, you know what, the free kick's been given, it's been done. You know, you had no role in, no right to take part in that, and you've cost us the game. And he'll learn from that. But it was a second yellow. It's a red. He's off, and that was the break we needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely, honest. And listen, you take whatever break you can get, and it was fortunate for Fulham that they get this break, but he did it, and that's what happens. He gets sent off, and the match changes at that point. All right, let's transition to the second half. And to start the second half, we have to talk about Matt Target coming on for Dennis Odoi. That was very interesting. And like we've already talked about, Target did a nice job in the second half. I just want to give him credit for that, but he does come on to begin the second half. And Max, I'm going to go to you. Let's go right to the goal in the 49th minute. This started with Ryan Fredericks' shot that hits the post. And then it seems like it happens all the time. Ryan Sessegnon's at the right place at the right time. He scores. Talk about the goal that made it 1-1 here, Max.
Yeah, first of all, let's give massive credit to Ryan Fredericks, as you mentioned. That run he had, cutting in from the right-hand side,
Yep.
not making a Barnsley defender and smashing into the post. I mean, desperately unlucky not to get the goal himself. You know, I think he's still looking for his first official Fulham goal. If we're considering his strike against QPR, probably is going to go down as an own goal. I think it did. But that looked like a perfect opportunity for him to get it. But he's such an attacking threat. He's so dangerous. And his blistering pace. I mean, I haven't seen any championship fullback that can match him, especially when they're defending against him. He just goes by them at ease. So he's just such an asset to have. And on many occasions, when we're not playing well, he can become that outlet where if you just play the ball out of the back and you play it to the pace of Fredericks, he can release so much pressure and turn defensive attack very quickly. So he's quickly turning into one of the most valuable players. And that's why I think a lot of fans are pretty relieved that the speculation of Stoke or Swansea or whatever has kind of died down in recent days. But, you know, the biggest thing here for me is Ryan Sessegnon. And I think today, and I think the past month, this is a bold claim by me, but I think it's time to stop talking about Ryan Sessegnon as one of the best young players in the country and just some of the best players in the country. Take out Young from the equation. He scored 11 goals this season. He has that instinct in the box. He's our best finisher. He's
He
better than
is.
we thought. He's better than anyone on the team. And I'd reckon better than the vast majority of any championship striker, if you look at the instincts he has. I think he's a top five scorer in the championship, and he can be a top five. I mean, I'm not going to say striker. He doesn't play the position, but he can be considered one of the best goal scorers in England right now
Right.
because of the way he plays. I've never seen, I mean, I compare it to Miroslav Klose in terms of just the fox in the box kind of attribute. You know, he scored most World Cup goals ever, and they're almost all inside the 18-yard box because he just knows where to be, and the ball just seems to find him in every situation, and it's uncanny. So he has the kind of positional awareness and kind of style of a young Gareth Bale, but he has the finishing ability of Miroslav Klose, in my opinion. And that is just, I mean, that's such a superb combination. And it's no secret why so many massive clubs are looking at him. And it makes what Tony Khan said a couple of weeks ago even that more important, that he's going to be with us the second half of the season for sure. And we've got to focus on the short term now. He's our best player. I think he's transforming into that. I think we can have this debate later, but for me, he's more valuable to Fulham right now than Carey is.
Okay, excellent there, Max. Some very good commentary about Ryan Sessegnon. All right, I'm going to go right back to you. Giannis, before I do, I just want to mention some opportunities Fulham had. You have the shot by Cabano that just goes over the net in the 65th minute. He comes on for Piazon in the 63rd minute. And then in the 70th minute, you have Kamara coming on for Johansson. And right after that, you have a shot by McDonald. I want to also mention the shot by Barnsley that was saved by Betts in the 78th minute. This was actually a good opportunity for them. And then in the 79th minute, you have the header by Kamara. Then you have a header in the 80th minute by Kyle. So obviously Fulham had some opportunities. And then in the 86th minute, you have a shot from McDonald that just goes over the net. And then another shot 2 minutes later from McDonald. But Giannis, we now have to transition. We have to go right to stoppage time. And let's talk about the second goal from Fulham that comes in the second minute of stoppage time. Kevin McDonald scores, but there's a lot more to this situation that leads up to the goal. Let's talk about the second goal for Fulham.
What's interesting here is that Neeskens Cabana hadn't had much of an impact when he came on, but he set up essentially the second and third goals. And that, I mean, a cross has come in there and Cabana's headed it, and there's just this melee. And central midfielders have to cover so much ground. You know, there's often criticism leveled. Norwood's had that criticism. Steph Joe's had been in and out. Same with Kevin Mack. People forget that playing central midfield is the toughest position on the field, because if the strikers aren't being serviced, they yell at the midfield. If the defenders are in trouble in terms of cover, they yell at the midfield. And for McDonald to make that movement into the box when you've got that melee to get his body on that, to get it in, I thought was brilliant. And that's testament to the sort of energy that they do bring. And that's what tempers all the angst surrounding Tom Kearney, because if you look at our body of results really since the middle of December, we've won a number of games late. So our fitness levels are very, very good right now. And I think that's an absolute key. We've got to sixth, really, to all intents and purposes, of many games without Tom Kearney. And I think that McDonald, Johansson, and Norwood deserve, for me, a lot more credit than they actually get. There's a lot of focus on a player who's not there, as opposed to the players who are there and have got us on this run and got us the results. McDonald hadn't scored all year, and I was delighted he did score, because his performance today was such that it warranted that. He'd had a couple of shots, you know, and you know he's desperate to score, but sometimes you don't hit it 40 yards out, hit it from 40 nanometers out. Nobody cares. But he got there, and it was a sucker punch in every part of the body to Barnsley, because I think they probably thought, we've nicked a point here. And in light of what happened with Cavari, it'll feel like a win. But the melee was in the box, people rolling around, he gets his buller on it, and that was the end of 2-1. And then even then, the buggers come up the field and almost equalize.
That's right. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because they had an opportunity right after that. Thankfully, it didn't lead to the equalizer. But I want to now go over to you, Max, and let's finish this off to go to the fifth minute of stoppage time. You have Ryan Sessegnon scoring his second, taps in an opportunity from that was set up to him from Cabano. So let's talk about the third goal from Fulham to end the match.
Yeah, Barnsley were pouring a lot of men forward, as you'd expect, just to get an equalizer. But, of course, they're massively behind at the back. Cabano with a really composed slide across the 6-yard box. And, again, Sessegnon in the right place at the right time to slot it home. And that was just the icing on the cake. And the celebration Sessegnon had in front of the away end. And that was just scenes where you can see how much it means to him. And this is something I love about Sessegnon. He plays like a fan would play. He plays with joy, and when he scores, he celebrates like he scored a goal for his favorite club, which of course he has done. And that's what makes him such an asset to Fulham, is that he's Fulham through and through. He's one of our own, as we say, and it means so much to him. He's not just a player brought in to a club where it's his job. This is his love, and he plays exactly like that. He's just a joy to watch every time he steps on the pitch. You know he's going to do something special. And that's kind of the impressive thing about Sessegnon, is that, I mean, today, I'd have to say, he didn't really have much of an impact on the match, you know? You'd have to say he wasn't really his normal self in terms of running at players. He had one moment of skill and one dangerous free kick. But you wouldn't say he definitely controlled the match. But he ends up scoring two goals. And that's an unbelievable tally no matter how you play. So he just knows when to score. And he seems like he's getting better with time, which is a scary thought considering he's only 17.
Yeah, it is scary, Max. And it's funny because the match prior, Gentleman Jim was talking about how
Brian
was having this quiet match, and then he scores.
And then he scores two goals.
And what happens here? It's deja vu. You know, he does it again, and he's just an amazing talent. And there's no accident being at the right place at the right time. He just has a good feel for the game. He knows to be where he needs to be, and he gets it done. And then he can finish, and that's what's wonderful about him. He can really finish, and he's so young. All right, guys, I was going to go to stats, but it's the stats I was just checking out on the Fulham website look a little strange, so I'm not going to share them, and I just double-checked on who scored. They just don't look right, so we're not going to talk about stats. But let's go directly to man of the match. Giannis, who was your man of the match?
I'm going to shock the hell out of you on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to choose the player who right now is my favorite Fulham player, and I thought he was brilliant, and that was Ryan Fredericks. I thought he was absolutely sensational. You watch his work. I've been just watching his work rate up and down that wing. I mean, the goal, remember, stemmed from the shot that hit the post. This guy is a gazelle, and you know he's. His energy's infectious. He's a good defender. He's got good skill. He'll always look to support the strikers. He's a team player. And although Cess is going to get the headlines, and deservedly so, and McDonald I thought was outstanding, and ordinarily I'd actually have given it to McDonald because I thought he had a brilliant game, I'm going to give it to Fredericks because, again, you're not going to beat him on that side. And today he was absolutely magnificent. And it's sort of funny, we've talked about the Kearney thing and, you know, potential bids coming in for Fredericks, and really the way he's been playing, we're going to have to keep an eye on that particular situation as well. I think it'd be a massive loss. He's become a big part of our team and a part of the fabric of the club. And I thought he was excellent today. So my man of the match is Ryan Fredericks.
That's excellent call for Ryan Fredericks. I like that, Giannis. Max, over to you. Who was your man of the match?
For me, I agree with what Giannis said. I'm about Fredericks, but I do have to say Kevin McDonald. He was just such a
that was going to be my man of the match.
Yeah, big part of the midfield, and of course got the winning goal. Did it when it mattered. I think it said first goal of the season for him. So, I mean, listen, it doesn't get much scrappier than that. But he really was a catalyst. And as you guys mentioned earlier, during our kind of late push in the last 10 minutes of the match, he was the one having the majority of the opportunities. Which is interesting because he's not normally seen as an attacking threat.
What's great about him, what's wonderful about what McDonald offers Fulham is something that I don't think we talk enough about. He has that determination, that confidence that he is going to force the play. And he just does it all. And he was my player of the season last season. And he's backing it up again this season. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, totally agree with everything there. But at the same time, at times in the first half and, you know, throughout the match when we weren't playing too well, I think a criticism I had was the midfield was a bit lacking. When Barnsley were really pushing on us in the first half, we kind of missed. It felt like the midfield was getting pushed and pulled around. There was not much stability. But then again, at crucial times, Kevin McDonald came up with big blocks, interceptions, and really held intact and then scored the winning goal. So, yeah, he's my man of the match.
Okay, excellent. Giannis, right back over to you. Let's end by talking about Savisa. Give him a rating here.
I'm going to give him 8. I mean, for the win, for the lineup, we really shouldn't excuse the fact that we were outplayed by Barnsley in the first half, but we were. We did come out flat. But to be fair, you know, there'll be debates about, you know, bringing on Odoi or bringing off Odoi for Target, but that seemed to work. You brought Kamara on, and that seemed to work. And then Cabano came on and, you know, had a hand in the second and third goals. I thought Font actually did okay today. First touch sometimes let him down. But I'd give him an 8. And I'm just going to, just as a little aside, we'll get to Max. I just tweeted you something, Russ. And a very interesting piece of news. So, Max and Russ, you can mull on this one. Okay. This is, okay, you know, Ryan O'Donovan stuff from West London Sport that it was revealed today or after the game. Brentford lost to Norwich, and Lasse Weber is apparently going to be leaving. He's negotiating with another team, and he will be leaving by Wednesday. And I'm just wondering if maybe Fulham could be a destination because we are looking for a striker. I don't know. I mean, it's saying that he's negotiating with another club. So keep an eye out for that. Just in case something is happening there that maybe we didn't think about.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. Max, over to you. Give Savisa a rating.
I'd say 8. You know. I think he got the 3 points. That's what matters. The performance wasn't that great, but I think I'm going to give him high marks for starting Sessegnon up front, and also giving Matty Target a run out in the second half. I think that was a really important substitution to make. And in addition, I don't think we talked about this before, but the Kamara substitution, for me, that changed the face of the game because he has total new dimension to our attack. And just the impetus he has, the pace, the power, especially in the dying moments of the match, kind of gives that extra push. But I think in matches like this, I would like to see Kamara start from the off in the future. Because I think he just, at times, I'm a big supporter of Font. I think he's very valuable to the side, and he showed that against Burton. But he has a tendency to be a bit weak sometimes. He pushed off the ball, kind of float in and out of matches. Whereas Kamara, you know, he's always going to be running around, getting 100%, and really getting stuck in a bit more. And maybe in the way matches, you need that kind of side of a striker more than you need the Font. So, potentially, I'd go with Kamara in the future.
Excellent. Yanis, I want to get your thoughts on what Max just said here about Kamara and also the play of Font in this match.
Yeah, Font, got closed down very quickly today at times. There was a few of the challenges in him I thought were questionable that could have been called but weren't, and that's fine. You know, a little bit of a drop back from the two goals against Burton last week, but I thought he had a decent game. I thought Kamara's just, he's a wrecking ball. And he adds a different dimension because of his physicality and his ability to chase down lost causes. And he's good in the air as well, although he's not the biggest lad. And good teams, you know, I'm looking at Wolves. Wolves are the best team in this division. And I think for me, it's not just their strength in breadth, but their strength in depth. And if you look at our bench today, you could say, well, you've got Stephen Sessegnon in there. Okay, so he's obviously a baby. You've got Luca De La Torre. I'm delighted that Ibrahim Asise was on the bench.
He's alive!
He's alive! And you know what? We are going to need him. I mean, I didn't think he did badly when he played, so I'm just delighted. I'm delighted he was in the 18, even though he didn't come on. But really, with this transfer window coming up, to me, I mean, Kamara is a good example of how subs can change the shape and direction of a game. But that talks to depth in squad. And that's a thing now, looking at the transfer window, you know that the guns are going to be blazing with fax machines and people. And remember, this is the last game before the transfer window.
That's right.
So the win puts us in a way in a better position.
That's my point earlier, Giannis. I agree. Yeah.
We look, you know, we're in a good position with the Kearney position. And as I said, I looked, you know, the Lasse Weber is a very interesting one because he's a good player. Hey, why not? But again, you know, if we've got a strong bench, if things don't go according to plan, you've got players that can come on like Cabano, like Kamara, that can make a difference. And so I think, you know, we'll go to sleep tonight and be happy with the win and the 3 points win the sixth. But psychologically, it's not just a big move, but it puts us in a better position for the last 17 games. And it puts us in a better position in terms of negotiating, in terms of the transfer window deadline with teams that are desperate to get, you know, to stay up or go up, and with players, say, from Premier League clubs who are not getting the time that they want, that do want to get regular time, they don't want to sit on the bench. That's why on Twitter in the week, I mentioned, and then I had some pushback about wages, but I said if Tom Kearney is, you know, an issue in terms of his injuries and maybe might be gone, yes, the wages would be high, but someone, you know, take a punt on Charlie Adam, because if you need someone to create, there's someone that can knock a ball about anywhere. He doesn't have to be the quickest. He doesn't necessarily have to be a defender, but he's very smart and he's a brilliant baller. And that kind of, there are players in the Premier League who are going, why are we parking our asses on a bench? So this is going to be I actually like transfer windows because it's exciting for the fans. I mean, it's bedlam for clubs and nervy for players, whatever league you're playing. But it's brilliant for us as fans because we're debating and we're wondering and we're hanging on every word and every rumor and every tweet and, you know, every Facebook comment. So it's great. So I'm looking forward to the next 4 days. I hope you guys are too. And maybe we might pick up Messi and Ronaldo, but then I'm dreaming.
Great. Fantastic. Great show, guys. I just want to mention this was a great show. And fans have been asking me, so I'm just going to mention this at the end of the show right now, that we will be doing a January transfer window special. I do this every window. We will be doing it again. People have been asking me. Yes, we will be doing it again. And Giannis, hopefully we'll have some good news because I agree with everything you said in regards to the transfer window, talking about players looking at Fulham. I said this earlier. The more they win, the more attractive Fulham becomes as a destination for the rest of the season. And if you can find someone that is looking for a chance to play that has the quality and is trying to choose between a couple of teams, maybe Fulham becomes your destination based on where we're headed right now, which is in the right direction. So winning is a very good thing. I don't care how they won today. Winning is a positive, and everything's looking forward for the rest of the season. Obviously, we're going to have to see how the transfer window finishes, but right now we should all be feeling good about the result, and we'll see what happens with the January transfer window, if it ends up being a positive or a negative the last 3 or 4 days. All right. Great show, guys. Fantastic show, but it is time to go. For Giannis Shenaeus and Max Cohen, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.